My name is Jeff Kirkland. I am a pastor of Christ Fellowship Bible Church in the Brentwood, Clayton area, and just glad to be back and open up God's Word with you. I've been here a number of times and have made it my habit to open up the Bible, and we go to the book of Revelation. So I want to ask you, if you have a Bible, to turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation 3 is where we're going to be tonight, guys. I want to let you know that I do think of you often. I'm thankful for you and thankful for the opportunity for me to come and minister God's truth to you. Guys, my goal tonight is really very simple. It's really very, very straightforward. Because what the book of Revelation is all about is the book of Revelation gives us the revelation from God as to what is going to happen at the end times. What's going to happen at the end of the world when Jesus comes back? What's going to happen in the future when times on earth are catastrophic, miserable, hard, devastating? What's going to happen? What does the Bible reveal? What does God say is going to happen at the end of the world? The book of Revelation tells us about that. Revelation chapter 1 is all about a vision that John has in heaven of Jesus Christ, of all of his glory, all of his perfection, all of the beauty of Jesus Christ. When I came last month, we looked at Revelation chapter 2, and we learned in chapter 2 that there were four churches that John wrote letters to. Four churches. Some of the churches were good, some of the churches were not so good. Tonight, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3. We're going to look at three more churches that John writes to, really the words of Jesus, two different churches. But guys, tonight I want to call you to something. I want to ask every one of you here tonight to examine your own heart tonight. I want to ask you to look deep into your own heart and into your own soul and to ask yourself this question. Is my religion, number one, based upon Jesus Christ? It might be easy for you to nod and say yes. But the second question that I want you to ask yourself tonight is this. Is it a genuine faith in Jesus Christ? Or are you what the Bible calls a hypocrite? Somebody who looks good on the outside, you've got the religious clothing on, but on the inside you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. Tonight, guys, I want to call your attention to Revelation chapter 3. But before I do, I want to ask you to pray with me very quickly so that we can ask God to help us. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak clearly, open my heart and the hearts and the minds of every man here to hear and to understand the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If there's one phrase in the book of Revelation, it's this. One phrase that gives you the whole theme of the book. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Maybe there's a time in your life when you need to remember that phrase, when it might seem like life is horrible. It might seem like nobody's in control of your life. Or it might seem like everybody's out of control of your life, including you. But Jesus wins. As much as you might think circumstances are driving you nuts, as much as you think Satan may drive you nuts, as much as you think family and money and friends and jobs and whatever may drive you nuts, Jesus wins. But dear friends, I want you to know there are three churches tonight, and they all give a very different message. And I believe tonight, as you examine your own heart, I want you to ask yourself, what church can you relate to? Are you a hypocrite? Are you somebody who walks with God? Are you somebody who kind of walks with God? You're kind of riding the fence a little bit? You're not totally in the deep end with God, but you're not really in the kiddie pool either. You're kind of in the middle. where are you in your walk with God? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Men, I want you to know tonight, there is no more important issue under the face of the earth. There is no more important question that could ever be asked than the one right here tonight. What is your relationship with Jesus Christ like? That's the most important question. More than family, more than jobs, more than money, more than anything else, where are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Let's begin in chapter 3, verse 1. What John is going to do, he's going to tell us about the first church in this chapter. This is the church in the city called Sardis. Kind of like writing a letter to the church of Florissant or Brentwood or Clayton or Alton or something like that. It's a letter to a church in a particular city. By the way, they're a dead church. Look at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this. In other words, Jesus is the one talking. He owns all perfection, all of the Godhood. Jesus is God. That's what he's saying. And I have all of the stars, everything in my hand. I am the one who is God. I am in control. I am big. I am great. I am sovereign. I am the king. Here's what I say to the church. Verse 1, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive. Friends, I wonder tonight, is there anybody here tonight that might have a name, a reputation, that you're alive with respect to God? When somebody looks at you and you've been here for a few weeks or a few months or a few years, man, that guy, he knows God. He's got a Bible. He reads that Bible. He knows God. He walks with God. You've got a name. You've got a reputation that you're alive. It's kind of like this church. They did a lot of good stuff, man. They were busy. They were working. In fact, he says here, I know your deeds. The word for deed is work. I know your work. I know everything you do. And you've got a reputation that you're alive. But you're dead. You see, Jesus says to the church, you've got a reputation that you're walking with God. But you know what? I am God and I see your heart and you're dead. You're like that little kid that goes into a toy store and he sees all of the little monkeys and the rabbits and the giraffe little stuffed animal bears. And they look alive, but there's no life at all in those things. They are as dead as could be, and that is some people who call themselves Christians. But they've got a reputation that they're alive. They think that they're alive. Other people think they're alive. But really on the inside, friends, they're dead. They're dead. Is that any of you here tonight? Maybe you've got a name, a reputation. Maybe you grew up in a home going to church. Maybe some religion. You pursued God. Everybody thought you loved God, but really on the inside, you didn't love God at all. You hated God. You were bored with God. You didn't care about God. If that's you tonight, friends, if that's you, if you've been putting on a clothing that looks good, it looks like you've got it all together, but yet on the inside you're not all together, that is what the Bible calls a hypocrite. And the word hypocrite comes from the ancient Greek and Roman world. When you would go on a stage right here, and you would perform a play or do some act, you would put on a face, a mask, and you would try to be or pretend to be another character. The Greek word for that was hypocrite. So when you present yourself one way, but you're really living another way, you're a hypocrite. Friends, I want to ask you tonight, I don't know your heart, but God does. and I don't know where you've been, and I don't know the way that you've presented yourself. Maybe everybody here has the idea that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and you might be. But there are some here tonight where you may have the outward clothing that says follower of Jesus Christ right across the chest, but on the inside, you're a follower of yourself, not of Jesus Christ. So if that's you, what do you do? Verse 2, wake up and strengthen the things that remain which are about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Jesus is saying to you tonight, friends, if this is you, if you have lived a hypocritical life, if you have lived a life that is full of outward appearances of walking with God, but yet on the inside you could care less about God, Jesus says, wake up. Wake up, and it's time to change. It's kind of like that mom or that dad that goes into the room to wake up their teenager and say, get ready for school again. Something's got to happen. You got to get out of your bed. You got to get your clothes on. You got to make your appearance right. And you got to get to school. You got to change. Something's got to happen. Jesus is saying to you tonight, if you're living that hypocritical life, dear friends, wake up. Why? Because verse 3, so remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Friends, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the greatest news that could ever be told. This is the most interesting, eternal, important message that you could ever hear. And it's this. Wake up and hear the word of God and repent. And repent is a Bible word that means to turn around, to have a change of mind. It means I know the way that I'm walking is not honoring to God. But I'm going to change my heart, my mind, my desires, my will, everything that I live for, and I'm going to go the opposite direction. That is repentance. And Jesus says right here in verse 3, friends, if you're a hypocrite, repent, repent. Therefore, if you do not repent or wake up, I'm going to come like a thief. And you don't know what hour I come. Anybody ever been robbed? A house ever been robbed? A car ever been robbed? You don't know when that thief is coming. You don't know. Our house was robbed a number of years ago in California when we were living in L.A. I came home one day, doors flied open, everything, a lot of things gone from our home. Totally robbed. Had I known that dude was going to come in my house, I wouldn't have left for the day, right? You don't know when the thief is coming, right? That's what Jesus is saying here. Friends, if you're living a hypocritical life, if you're not walking with God, I'm calling you on the authority of God's word to repent and come to Jesus Christ, because if you don't, Jesus says, I'm going to come like a thief, and you don't know when that is, but when he comes and you have not believed in Jesus Christ, it's too late. It's too late. But here's what he says in verse 4. But there are a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You know, this is a church that had a reputation that it was alive, but it was dead. But there were some people in the church that were walking with God truly. May I remind you, men, tonight? Look at me. I want to remind you tonight, friends, that if you are a Christian and you're walking with Jesus Christ and you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, and you've repented of your sin and you're following Jesus, you're going to be the minority in the world. People are not going to love you, because you're not going to do the things they do. And you're going to hate the things that they love. And they're going to hate the things that you love. Right? That's what the Bible says. So, the Bible says this, if you are walking with Jesus Christ, you are walking, as it were, in white garments. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, all of the perfection that Jesus had, he obeyed God perfectly. Something you can't do, I can't do. He obeyed God totally, perfectly, never sinned, never messed up, never lusted, never lied, never cheated, never said an angry word that was sinful. He was perfect. You and I aren't. But the one who comes to the foot of the cross and believes in Jesus Christ and repents of his sin, the Bible says when you have your faith in Jesus Christ, you are clothed with a garment of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As a Christian, you are able to walk in white garments. But not only that, friends, if you have your Bible, verse 5, the one who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. Friends, if you're a Christian here tonight, the Bible says your name cannot be erased from the book of life. It was like the ancient cities in the Greek and Roman world. They had a register of all the names of the people that lived in the city. And you couldn't just take your name out. You were a citizen of that city. You belonged to that city. Nobody could say, I don't like you, I'm going to erase your name. Couldn't do it. And so it is with Jesus Christ. When your name is written in the book of life, it cannot be erased. But there's another church. Another church in verse 7, and that's a city of Philadelphia. Not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A Philadelphia that was in modern day or ancient Asia. Ancient Asia. Here's what Jesus says. The one who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one will open, says this. Friends, do you know what Jesus says? Jesus says here that he is the Holy One. He is the Holy One. Do you know what that means? That means he is perfect. It means he is pure. It means he is righteous. It means that he is not touched by sin in any way, shape, or form. Friends, you and I are totally sinful. We are totally unholy. But Jesus is totally holy. He is true. We are not. He is reliable. We are unfaithful at times. We lie. Not Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One. He is the true one. He is the one who holds the key of David, who opens doors and no one will shut. Verse 8, he says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I've put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and you have kept my word and have not denied my name. You know what that means, guys? This church in Philadelphia, it says they had little power. What that means is they had little physical strength. They were a small church in a kind of a small city, relatively small. They didn't have a whole lot of wealth, a whole lot of prosperity. They didn't have a huge military army. But when you've got the Word of God, when you obey the Word of God, when you submit to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are powerful and nobody can overcome you. That's what he's saying right here to the church. And he says this in verse 9, behold, I'm going to cause your enemies, those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they're Jews and they're not, they're going to come and they're going to bow before you. What does that mean? All of the enemies that have mocked true believers, all of the people that ridicule and make fun of and mock and jeer and laugh at and say, look at these foolish Christians. What a bunch of fools. God is going to make them at one day come and fall before them and say, wow, you served the one true and living God. You served the one true God. Verse 10, I love this, guys. If you have a Bible, I want you to look at verse 10. If you don't, I want you to listen to this. This is a promise to true believers, and only true believers. Verse 10, because you have kept the word of my perseverance. In other words, because you have embraced the word of Jesus Christ, because you have obeyed the word of Jesus Christ, because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, because you keep it, and you hold it, and you love it, I will keep you from the hour of testing, which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. What is that referring to? It's referring to a future time of horrible suffering on the earth when God punishes people on the earth because they've rejected Jesus Christ. Y'all heard of the tribulation period? Y'all heard of that future period when God is going to throw down judgment upon the earth? By the way, just read Revelation. Man, you got 100-pound hailstones falling from heaven. You got sores that break out on people. You got a fourth of the earth being burned up. You got a fourth of humanity being killed. This is judgment from God on a widespread scale. But Jesus is promising to his followers that if you repent and believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus says, I will keep you out of it. I will keep you out of that period on earth. I will lift you out of it, take you to heaven, so that you will not undergo the wrath of God. But friends, I must tell you something. For those of you that do not know Jesus Christ, for those of you that have not given your life to Christ, you've not confessed your sin, repented of your sin, friends, this verse does not promise you deliverance. In fact, it promises you the opposite, that you will be those that will be left behind, and when that judgment of God comes, you will be those on the earth that have to endure the judgment of God. Friends, I would call you tonight with love and with all heart that I have to your heart to turn from your sin and believe in Jesus Christ while you still have opportunity. You don't know when Jesus is going to come back, and you don't know when your life is going to be over. And when that moment comes, it will be too late, dear friends. It will be too late at that point to fall before Jesus Christ and say, have mercy upon me. There are no second chances after you die. Call upon the name of the Lord and believe in him. Verse 11, here's what Jesus says. I am coming quickly. You know, friends, it's kind of like a dad. It's like a dad, like a father. You know, when that father goes away to work for the day and he says to his son or his daughter, hey, I'm going to come back and get you. I'll be back tonight. I'll be back at the end of the day and I'm going to come get you, and we'll go out and have a father-son date or a father-daughter date together. There's that expectation that he's going to come back. And it's going to happen. And that's what Jesus says. I am coming quickly. Jesus, right now, he knows when he's going to come back. And I want you to know, it could be before I'm done preaching tonight. It could be. He could come back. Jesus could come back, and he will come back quickly. Verse 11, hold fast what you have, so that nobody will take your crown. The one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Do you hear that? I will make him a pillar. By the way, the city of Philadelphia in the ancient world had a lot of earthquakes. A lot of earthquakes. There was a period of 2 or 3 years where every day in that city, in that region, an earthquake hit. Hey, if this city knew one thing, pillars fell over in earthquakes. But God says, hey, if you follow me, and if you walk with me, and if you repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to make you a pillar in the temple of God in heaven. You'll never fall over there. It will be sturdy. It will be established. It will be certain. It will be eternal. You'll never fall over. Not only that, verse 12, I will write on you the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Wouldn't it be great, friends, if instead of a shirt that said Nike or a shirt that said Cardinals, you said, I am owned by Jesus Christ. And I am possessed, and I am purchased by Jesus Christ. He owns me. He made me. That will be your new name in heaven. Your identity will be with Jesus Christ. But friends, we have seen the dead church of Sardis. We have seen the vibrant, the living church of Philadelphia. But there's a third church, and perhaps the most scary of all. And friends, may I be so honest as to say to many of you, maybe where many of you are tonight. Listen to me as I read the third church, beginning in verse 14, to the church of Laodicea. The Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. That means that Jesus is the beginning. He is the originator of everything. He creates everything. He says this, verse 15, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. And I wish that you were cold or hot, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You ever heard that verse before, anybody? Friends, I want to tell you, if there's any verse that would qualify for a scary verse in the Bible, this is it. And let me tell you why. Here's what God is saying to you. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in God's true word, He is saying to you, friends, because you're not hot and you're not cold. In other words, you're not really on fire for God, but you're not really angry with God. You're kind of in the middle. Jesus says this, I wish that you were either hot or I wish that you were cold. But don't be in the middle. Because He says to the church, because you are lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. And here's the scary thing. It's not a word that's like a little spit. This is a violent vomiting. The Greek word means somebody who's overflowing with constant vomit. Sorry for the word picture, but that's the point of the passage. Jesus is saying to you, dear friends, that if you're not hot for God or you're not cold for God, but you're kind of riding the fence, Jesus says, I want nothing to do with you. Dear friends tonight, is that any of you? You're not really opposed to God. You're not opposed to Jesus Christ. But frankly, you're not really that excited about Him either. You're not on fire for God. You're like, hey, I got a Bible. I read my Bible. I hear a sermon every night at the Sunshine Ministry. Man, I'm cool. I've been to church. I go to church right now. I am sitting on the fence. Friend, you're the person this passage is talking about. My dear friends, I would call you with all authority from the Bible to repent of your sin, to believe in Jesus Christ, and look at what He says. Look at what He says. Verse 18, I advise you to buy from me gold. Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me and buy gold from me. You might think you're rich. You might think you've got all the good works you need. You might think you've got all the knowledge you need. But friends, come to Jesus Christ. Buy gold from Him. He's the only one that can take your soul to heaven. Not you, not Mary, not the Catholic Church, not your Christian church, not your mom, not your dad, not your wife, not your bank account, not anything. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and men, right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. friends, I want to remind you, Jesus says this, why don't you come to me and why don't you find white garments from me so that you may clothe yourself? And then come to me and buy eye salve so that your eyes will open up and see rightly. Dear friends, your eyes are blind tonight if you've not come to Jesus Christ. If you're not living your life for Him and only Him, you're blind. You're blind. Come to Jesus. Buy gold. Don't buy the gold. Find the gold that He offers you. Find the salvation that Jesus freely offers you. Dear friends, I want to conclude with one final quick word to you, and it's this. There are three churches tonight we looked at. One was a dead church, a hypocritical church. One was a church that had a living faith. They were vibrant. And then there was a third church. There was a lukewarm church. Friends, where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? Friends, if you are the hypocritical church or the lukewarm church, I would call you to come to Jesus Christ. Fall on your knees tonight at the foot of your bed and say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, wash me. Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse me. Take my sin, my guilt, my wickedness, all of my lukewarmness, all of my hypocrisy. And I know that Jesus took it on the cross. And God, forgive me, and He will. He will wash you. He will make you whiter than snow when you put all your faith in Jesus Christ. Dear friends, let me pray for you, and then you'll be done. Father, I pray for these men. I pray that you would help them to hear the word from the Word of God, that they would turn and repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and find joy and find forgiveness and find rest for their souls. I pray, O God, that you would awaken and open every mind and heart that is here tonight to the message of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you.